Good morning and welcome to worship today at New Hope. For those of you that are with us online, our New Hope family, and those who are dialing in later, we're glad you're here and want to remind you that we're a place that is committed to doing our best by God's grace to make disciples of Christ who love and grow and serve so that we honor God and be a blessing in the world in which we live. I'm so glad that we're able to be together and not only to praise God, but also to be able to hear from God's Word. And so may the Spirit of God speak to us today, wherever we are and wherever we're enjoying this moment of trying to hear from God. I want to start today with the story of Joseph, a story that maybe you know, and you can find it in the book of Genesis. Though I'm not going to cover the whole story, it spans about 13 chapters, so I'm not going to cover the whole thing. But it really begins in Genesis 37, and it spans through the very end of chapter 50. And in that story, there's some points of it I want to bring to light. And so I'm going to just kind of sum it up and just kind of hit some high points for us today. And in the beginning of that story, Joseph is, of course, not the eldest of his brothers, who are the sons of Jacob. And Joseph has a dream, and in that dream, his family is going to be bowing down to him and following him as the head of that household. And that's a big problem because in their culture, he was not the eldest child. And so therefore, it was quite disrespectful for him to tell his family that they were going to neglect their culture and that Joseph was actually going to rise above that and be the leader of the family. And so as that kind of builds and festers in the brothers, they decide that they want to get rid of him. You know, what do you do if you have a problem and you don't want to face it? Bury it, get rid of it, cast it away so you don't have to deal with it. That's exactly what they do. And so they decide that they're going to sell him into slavery. And they do, which takes Joseph into Egypt, and he winds up in jail. And then through a series of events, he ends up rising to a position of influence there in jail. And this is over a season of time. It's not just like a one-week deal. He's there for a season in a place that he doesn't want to be. And when he's there, he rises up. He ends up becoming a part of Potiphar, who's the captain of the Egyptian guard, and becoming a part of his household, overseeing the affairs of his home. And while he's there, Potiphar's wife, how do we keep this simple and clean, tries to get him to behave in a wrong way, an immoral way, and gets accused of doing something he shouldn't have done. Well, he finds himself back in jail and rising up to power. And there comes a point in time where he gets promoted. And he gets promoted. He gets promoted to being second in command under Pharaoh himself. And he's really directing the affairs of all the food that's coming in because there's 7 years of abundance where the ground is going to yield a great harvest, and they're going to store that up because he knows that there's 7 years of famine that's coming, and he needs to be prepared for that. And when that famine hits and he's in charge, guess who shows up in front of him? His brothers. They've come to Egypt to get help, and there he is, and they don't recognize him, and he ends up revealing his identity to them. And then his extended family ends up coming to Egypt, and they get to live off the fat of the land, if you will, in a good land where they can shepherd the sheep, the livestock they have, and really grow in a new home. Now, if you know that story, you know that's a quick summary. So you have Joseph, a man who gets betrayed, a man who gets treated unjustly. And I can imagine the hurt that he felt, having to go through what he went through. And he found himself healing from a past full of pain that he didn't have control over. People that treated him unjustly, that wasn't fair, it wasn't right. He hadn't done anything really
that he knew to be wrong or was really wrong and worthy of anything near what they had done to him. There really, one might say, there really isn't anything worthy of what they did to him. But something we learn about Joseph is that Joseph, through the course of the story, we can see that he went back into his story in order that he could move forward from it. And part of us being people who are growing emotionally healthy in our relationship with Christ and growing spiritually healthy together, part of that journey is going back that we might go forward. And I want to talk about today some vitamins. I did vitamin C's a few weeks ago, and so I want to give us some vitamin A's today that can, I believe, from this story, encourage us and how to go back that we might go forward and grow healthier emotionally and with Christ in our relationship with Him and who we are in Christ. And the first A I want to give us is that we need to affirm that God is bigger. What do I mean by that? I mean that God is an ever-present, all-knowing, all-powerful God. That God has an eternal perspective over all things. That God has also a sovereign perspective over all things. And He looks at the history of time and He looks at the present of our lives as an eternal God who is Lord over all. That God is bigger. I think in the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 45 and also in chapter 50, but I believe Joseph affirms in the story that God is bigger when he tells his brothers that what they saw on that day when they were so mad at him and they were impatiently trying to figure out a way to make the frustration, the angst, the anxiety, to make it all go away, they said, here's what we'll do. We'll cast him away and we'll just pretend that he's dead and it's gone. Why deal with the pain when you can just cast it aside and pretend like it doesn't even exist anymore? They said, we can get rid of our brother. But you know, what Joseph grew to understand was that in that moment, that even though he couldn't see it, that God saw a bigger story. That God saw an opportunity to place Joseph in a position of influence to preserve life. Not just Joseph's own life, but his family's life, the whole entire ancient East, including the people who would become the children of Israel. So the descendants of Abraham. God knew what was happening, and he was bigger than that story that was unfolding. So you might say, well, Pastor Andy, I get that, but my question to you is, how in the world do we do that? Because I have it here, like I get that, so how do I take that and sort of apply that? And let me suggest this. We affirm that God is bigger by saying, God, I confess that you have never been absent in my story. I'm not happy with my story, parts of it, but God, you've never been absent. And God, you have never been ignorant of what was happening in my story. You've never been incapable of working out your plan for my life and for those that would be impacted by your presence working through me. And so God, by choosing to believe that you are bigger, I'm not going to choose bitterness. When I look back at those experiences and the relationships that have shaped my story and the way that I live my life today, in my story personally, I grew up in a divorced home. That's really the only life that I've ever known. It was real when I was really young. And if you've ever grown up in a divorced family, then you know that it comes with a bag of emotions and a lot of pain and hurt and trying to figure out why life is the way it is. Nothing bad against my parents. I love them dearly. But that is the effect of growing up in that type of environment for most people. And I could look back at that, and I could choose to be bitter towards God for the hurt of my past, because He didn't take it away, didn't take the hurt away. He didn't fix what I saw as broken. I could blame God for it all. I could. But I've learned that God was with me. I've learned that God saw me through it all. And I've confessed that He did not keep the hurt away from me, but in fact, He allowed me to go through that season. And because of that, I have a testimony that I've been able to share with many people that I would not have were it not for my story. I've chosen to believe that God is bigger than my story. And it gives a foundation and a root to my faith and to my hope, no matter what I'm going through. He holds a sovereign perspective over my life story. I know we're tired of going through COVID-19 and all of the, just the upside-down way of living that it has really caused, and especially for churches and our church and so many others, all of them, I would wager to say. But even in the midst of being tired and worn out and wanting change, we must look at the moment affirming that God is bigger than where we find ourselves. He is sovereign over where we are today. I think that's a very important vitamin A to have as we grow healthier emotionally and we grow healthy spiritually. All right, so let me give you a second one. You ready for this? Here's a fun one. Admit how we feel. Don't you love talking about how you feel, talking about your emotions? Like, who wants to do that? That's crazy. I know. It's often not fun at all. However, don't forget that God is a God of emotions. And we see those emotions in the scriptures. And He's created us in His image, and we have emotions. And so what that means for us is that when we talk about admitting how we feel, we're saying, look, we look back into our past and we admit how we feel about then and today. And so we confess those emotions that are attached to the pieces of our story that we explore and discover are connected to our family of origin, to the experiences that we've had in life and the things that we've learned and we chose to believe because of what we've gone through in our past with other people, and sometimes just the unfairness of life that just hit us in a hard way, and we couldn't stop it or change it. We're not talking about defining what we think about it. Oftentimes, that's what I think, right? Isn't that, you don't even, we just go there. We don't even really think about it. We so want to define what we think and forsake how we feel. We're discovering how we feel in our heart and trying to express that grief, trying to express the sadness, the anger, etc., that we are exploring and discovering is there. I think back to Joseph. Go back to his story for a second. You know, when Joseph sees his brother Benjamin, when they come before him and they're wanting food, and remember, they don't recognize him, but he recognizes them. And Benjamin, the younger brother, is there. And when Joseph saw him for the first time, the story says in chapter 43 that he wept in private. Joseph did, in a room next to them, so loud that the Egyptians in the other room heard him crying. And later, when Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers, in chapter 45, it says that he wept in front of them. And later, when Joseph's brothers told Joseph that their father had passed away, and they're asking him, would you forgive us for what we did to you so many years ago? It says that Joseph wept again. When you choose to be honest with how you feel about what has happened in your life, you give yourself great freedom to heal. I believe this is extremely relevant for us today in light of what we're going through. I would imagine that every one of us, if you're at home or wherever you are and you're listening this morning or you're with us here in the sunshine, you know, every one of us have a feeling that we have towards what has so drastically changed in our lives because of the virus in our around the world and in our nation, and especially in our communities. We all have feelings with that. And some of us, I'm guessing, probably have grief that we've just pushed down and said, you know what? I'm going to smile. I'm going to fake it till I make it. And I'm just going to keep on going on. Because what other choice do I have? And yet on the inside, we're struggling. Man, we are wrestling. And when we're by ourselves and no one else is around, that's when it starts to come out. Because we feel like that's a safe place. And we start to think about all the things that we've missed out on, from graduations to ministries in the church to events in the life of the church, the things and events in the community that we were looking forward to going and doing, vacations that we had to change perhaps. That's my family's story. Not much is like it used to be. Now, here's reality. We can pretend that our grief, with all of that hurt and anxiety, doesn't exist, and we can press on and we can fake it with a smile, which, by the way, you may have learned really doesn't work. You do that in a relationship with somebody for quite a while and you find out it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I suggest there's a better option. I believe that better option is to admit how we feel and own it. I promise you, you are not alone. You say, yeah, but the others keep going on and they're smiling. Yeah, but I tell you what, on the inside, they're wrestling like you are. We are in a hard time. And trying to figure out when do we reopen and go inside the building and ministries and all of that, and, you know, with other things in the community and events and just, I mean, it's just all over the place, right? And going, man. But in that time of admitting how we feel about it and being honest about it is important to also explore how have the events and the people in our lives shaped the way we are responding today? Why am I responding physically and emotionally the way that I am today in light of everything that has changed in my life and what I'm experiencing and how I'm frustrated, how I'm disappointed, how I'm aggravated? And can I invite you to ask God to help you discover what He wants you to hear from Him as you listen to Him through the Scriptures? That's heavy, isn't it? It is. That's one of those horse pill vitamins that you take, right? You look at that thing and you go, I don't know about that one. I don't know if I can get that one down. You can. You can. For the Lord is with us. That is His promise. If we're going to believe the Lord is with us and we're going to affirm that He is bigger, then by faith, I got a third vitamin A to give. And that's allow a new story. Allow God to develop your story moving forward. Now, this is not to say that you haven't, but to encourage us to remember as we're moving forward that we need to be doing that. Think of Joseph. Joseph, I think, came to understand through his life events that, you know, God had saved a lot of lives through his story. He went through injustice, betrayal, pain, sorrow. He was broken. A story that started ugly, had its ups and downs. God made for a beautiful result. And Joseph was patient with God through the story. Through the story of the events as they went up and they went down. Listen, COVID-19 is not the end of the story. It may just be the valley in the story. Perhaps we could argue that that's what it is. It's a valley in the story. It's not a forever end to life. It's a season. But a people of faith are people who have to remember that God is bigger than the valley. He's always bigger. And we need to admit how we feel and be real about that, because listen, God already knows, and He's inviting us to allow Him to speak truth into how we really feel, that there might be a path of healing that comes out of that time of admitting, confessing, but that we'd also allow Him that new story. Allow Him to keep moving that story forward in a way for His glory. You know, in my life, as I talked about the past, I've kind of had to learn the hard way that the biggest lessons in my life have, and what I've learned about God and some of the greatest truths about God, have come in the most hurtful seasons of my life. In the hardest times, I've learned some of the most helpful truths about the goodness of God. And I want to invite us to remember that that is often the way it is. But those realizations come when we stay faithful. And remember that the God of the valley is the God of the hilltop. The God who's with you in the valley is the same God that's with you on the top of the mountain. The God who's with you when it's raining is the same God that's with you when the sun is shining. Don't forget in the valley what you knew to be true on the mountaintop beforehand. He hasn't changed. It's just that the season has changed. And we want to allow God to keep moving that story forward, because the valley won't last forever. Above all, there's the promise of a mountaintop experience when we experience glory, when Christ calls us home. That needs to be the very end that we're looking towards. We've got to remember that. So I think as we allow a new story, as we affirm God is bigger, we admit how we feel, that we want to go, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to take these vitamin A's, and you know what? I'm going to say, all right, God, you're bigger. You can handle what concerns me. I choose to believe that today. God, I'm going to take another vitamin A, and I'm going to admit this is how I feel about it. And you know, honestly, God, I'm pretty ticked off, and I ain't happy, and I'm hurt, and I'm really frustrated, and I'm about all I could take. I have no more patience left in this tank. So God, would you grant me the patience I need to carry forward in the power of the Spirit, to share your love and your life-giving gift within me, so that they don't see me, they see you working in me. Because God, I believe it's not about me, it's about you, and it's about your mission. And if you don't help me, I know I can't make it. So I'm going to trust and choose to let you help me today. Help me put one foot in front of the next, because I feel like right now that's all I got to give. The beauty of that is that's all God's ever really asking of you. Do you understand that? By faith, put one foot in front of the other. He's got you. He will grow you. He will call you home. Because He loves you. That is the truth. His love is what we need to continue to rely on and lean on and lift up in a season such as we're in. Not our own disappointments, not our own frustrations, not our own opinions, not our own convictions about what we want and feel we have to have, but to lift up the name of Jesus in the heart of the gospel. part of that right now is going to take us doing some soul work, you know. It's going back as we keep going forward. Going back in our own life stories and being honest with ourselves and being honest with each other. And trust God's story writing ability to write a story that's better than we could even imagine. I think Paul's words to the Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 are great ending words here this morning. He says that God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That is an affirmation. That is admitting how he feels. And it's also allowing a story to develop that's beyond our control and trusting God for the outcome. Pray with me, please. God, we are in this place and in a season that we continue to journey through that is like none we've ever known. Not just COVID, but it's hit us emotionally in ways that we don't even fully comprehend right now because we've never gone through something like this. And it's tapped into our story, the experiences that we've had and the things that we've learned and what we've chosen to believe. That's impacting and coming out today in ways that we don't completely understand. But Lord, help us. Help us to hold on to a faith that affirms you're bigger than where we are today and you're bigger than our story. That we would be willing to trust you. That even though we may not feel great and we may feel frustrated and sorrowful and even possibly angry, that how we respond says really what we believe about you and the work that you are doing in us and can do for us and through us moving forward. And help us to allow that new story to be written by your hand in a way that will bless generations to come. May our story today, may it not speak to us as people, but to our faith in you as a mighty, eternal, sovereign God. May you be glorified through this season. And may you strengthen us and give us the resolve to tarry through and be faithful to the end. I ask this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.